News of the Church and Comment. Worldwide Leadership Training Meeting highlights auxiliary supporting roles. In a world where the traditional family is under attack, the auxiliary organizations of the church are meant to support the family in bringing individual members to Christ. Local leaders were told during the church's third Worldwide Leadership Training Meeting held on January 10, 2004. The broadcast, presided over by President Gordon B. Hinckley, reached priesthood and auxiliary leaders in 76 countries and 56 different languages worldwide. "You can see only those assembled in your own chapel," said President Boyd K. Packer, acting president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, as he welcomed everyone to the training. "There are similar congregations in more than 5,000 other buildings in 76 countries. So it really is a congregation of the saints worldwide." The training meeting focused on the Relief Society, young women and primary auxiliaries. Instructions for the leaders of the young men and Sunday school auxiliaries will be given in future broadcasts. Printed copies and DVDs of the broadcast will be distributed to leaders worldwide. Challenges that face the family. President Gordon B. Hinckley and President James E. Faust, second counselor in the first presidency, emphasized the importance of the family and warned of threats to its survival in our day. "No one need tell you that we are living in a very difficult season in the history of the world," said President Hinckley. "Standards are dropping everywhere. Nothing seems to be sacred anymore. The traditional family is under heavy attack. In the church, we are working very hard to stem the tide of this evil." President Faust cited statistics showing a worldwide increase in the postponement of marriage and in cohabitation, divorce, and births out of wedlock. Statistics also point to the devaluation of children. Worldwide, more than 25% of all pregnancies are aborted. The challenges facing families today are many and great. "Our family relationships need every protection that can be instituted," President Faust taught. "The auxiliaries and the priesthood are meant to support the family in strengthening individuals against the evils of the world." The roles of auxiliaries and the priesthood. The purpose, function, and inner workings of church auxiliaries and how auxiliaries relate to the priesthood took the spotlight for the remainder of the meeting. The fundamental role and purpose of an auxiliary organization of the church is to help plant and make grow a testimony of Jesus Christ, said Elder Richard G. Scott of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Elder Scott explained how auxiliaries work under the direction of the priesthood and warned against replacing the family as the primary support for building testimonies. He instructed auxiliary leaders to rely on the Spirit for direction. Bonnie D. Parkin, Relief Society General President, Susan W. Tanner, Young Women General President, and Colleen K. Menlove, Primary General President, reinforced Elder Scott's instruction. "Our mission is to bring all to Christ," Sister Parkin said. Their presentation used video vignettes and commentary to demonstrate how priesthood and auxiliary leaders should work together and how auxiliary presidency meetings should be conducted. Elder Dallin H. Oaks of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, speaking from the Philippines, emphasized the role of priesthood leaders and overseeing the work of auxiliary organizations. "All who work in the auxiliary organizations must have hands placed upon their heads to give them the authority to lead and teach in the kingdom of God. The priesthood authorities who preside over the auxiliary organizations must direct and supervise their work." His instructions included examples of how priesthood and auxiliaries should work hand in hand. African Saints Celebrate New Temple, Old Culture, by Margaret Kirkpatrick. Latter-day Saint youth children and missionaries in Ghana and throughout West Africa combined their creative efforts to celebrate the dedication of the Accra Ghana Temple and to honor President Gordon B. Hinckley's visit to their country on January 10, 2004. At the direction of President Hinckley, and after much work and planning, the LDS youth of Ghana performed a special cultural folklorica called a Day of Celebration. Almost 2,000 youth sang and danced in this the largest church youth activity ever held in Africa. Youth, primary children, and missionaries came to the Accra Sports Stadium and from all over Ghana to perform. In the audience were President Hinckley and his wife Marjorie, Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, members of the Africa West Area Presidency, and their wives, the Ga Tribal Council, church members, and other spectators. Based on the folk tales and dances of West Africa, the storyline of the celebration followed a folk character named Kwaku Anansi, a spider whose stories are sometimes used to teach values to children. Desmond Awaring played the legendary spider, weaving together the different dance numbers of the youth. In the show, Anansi searched from village to village for all the good things in the world to keep for himself. As he approached the various villages on stage, each stake and district sang and danced and gave him something good, like courage, love, or family. At the end of his journey, when Anansi saw the Accra Ghana Temple, its beauty convinced him that he should share the good things he had collected with the world. Anansi's good deed was rewarded by about 800 primary children, all dressed in white, entering the stage to sing, "I Love to See the Temple," Children's Songbook, page 95. They were followed by the entire cast singing, "I Am a Child of God," hymns number 301. President Hinckley dedicates Ghana Temple. The Accra Ghana Temple, opened to the public December 3rd through the 20th, 2003, was dedicated by President Gordon B. Hinckley in three sessions on Sunday, the 11th of January, 2004. Sister Marjorie Hinckley, Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, and Elder Sheldon F. Child, H. Ross Workman, and R. Conrad Schultz of the Africa West Area Presidency were also present at the dedication. President Hinckley said the dedication to the temple marks a new day in West Africa, fulfilling the hopes and dreams of many, according to a Deseret Morning News interview. During his time in Africa, President Hinckley visited with Ghana President John Agyekum Kufuor. The temple, constructed solely of native materials, features a Nambian granite facade, African granite floors, and Makor wood moldings. It is adorned with carved carpets, handcrafted furniture, original artwork, and unique art glass windows. The largest room seats 80 people. Missionaries first entered Ghana nearly 26 years ago in 1978. The Accra Ghana Temple is the 117th temple dedicated. 11 more have been announced or are under construction. The next scheduled temple dedication is in Copenhagen, Denmark, in May of this year. Daily Commute to Mars Nearing End for LDS Man by Adam C. Olson, Church Magazines. Gary Anderson has enjoyed a new perspective during the past few months on the lessons he's taught in his East Pasadena Ward, Pasadena, California Stake Gospel Doctrine class. While his lessons on Sunday have followed Nephi across the ocean to the Promised Land and seen the Nephites into the wilderness, during the week, Brother Anderson has helped pilot two spacecraft across the vastness of space to Mars and watched the red planet's wilderness unfold. He is one of seven NASA rover drivers on a historic exploration of the Martian landscape. "I don't think anyone can look up at the stars at night and not feel awed at the marvelous universe we are part of. Whether you are an astronomer studying the heavens or a Boy Scout on an overnight hike," said Brother Anderson, a mission control engineer at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena. "It is fascinating to me that we are able to go millions of miles through space, land on another planet, and maneuver about as if we were here on Earth exploring some place we had not seen before." The rover Spirit landed on Mars on the 4th of January 2004, and barring unforeseen problems, is nearing the end of its projected 90-day mission. The rover Opportunity was set to have landed on the 25th of January on the opposite side of the planet. The rovers are capable of transmitting tremendous amounts of data to Earth, including measurements of radiation, magnetic fields, temperature, weather, and soil, as well as thousands of photos. It could be some time before scientists can analyze all of the information gathered during the mission. Among other objectives, scientists hope the rovers will find evidence in the rocks and soil that potentially life-sustaining water existed in the planet's past. As for Brother Anderson and his team of drivers, they are as close to living on Mars as they can get without being there. We see this world through a camera's eye, and it is as if we were there ourselves, Brother Anderson said. It is incredible to me that we can do things like this. The team is living and working on Mars time. A day on Mars is 40 minutes longer than an Earth day, which means that Brother Anderson has seen a number of Mars sunrises while at work in the middle of the night. Brother Anderson holds degrees in psychology, electrical engineering, and astronomy. He was a mission controller for the Space Shuttle program and has worked more recently on projects with the Hubble Space Telescope and probes to Jupiter and Saturn. Results of Service Seen in Wake of Wildfires by Amber Meager. Full-time missionary serving in California have made a lot of new friends after helping out when massive wildfires swept through the state in October and November of last year. The fires, which left more than 3,400 families homeless and killed 20 people, affected communities in the California Arcadia, Carlsbad, Riverside, San Bernardino, San Diego, San Fernando, and Ventura missions. Missionaries around the world give regular service as part of their weekly schedules. But following the devastation late last year, many California missionaries were instructed to put aside their regular schedules and pitch in where they were needed. Missionaries in the Carlsbad and San Diego missions, for example, could often be found working from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m., hauling ash, sorting clothing at various distribution centers, or generally lending a hand to whoever needed one, and then going out to do their regular teaching in the evenings. Missionaries in the San Diego mission volunteered long hours with the Salvation Army Emergency Disaster Relief Center. The center served hundreds of thousands of meals, set up shelters, helped find temporary housing, and delivered necessities to residents who had lost their homes. Without the missionaries' help, we would not have been able to do what we have done, said Major Glenn Madsen, commanding officer for the Salvation Army. He said he was impressed by their efforts, along with their integrity, work ethic, and commitment. Their loving spirit came out, and it changed the complexion of the setting and spilled out to the other volunteers and employees. After 20 homes burned in Scripps Ranch, missionaries from the Carlsbad Mission sifted through ashes by hand, helping the residents look for valuables, such as jewelry, coin, collections, and heirlooms. We couldn't have been more thankful to have them, said Julianne North, a member of the St. Gregory's Catholic Church, and in charge of organizing the fire relief at St. Gregory's in the community of Scripps Ranch. They came from out of the blue. I can't speak highly enough about them. In the community of Lori Valley, Amy Colbert, a resident of 2 years, returned home to find that 31 of her neighbors' homes had burned to the ground. Seeing the missionaries working in the area, she asked if they could help her friends with clearing their property. The next morning, 40 missionaries showed up ready to work. It was all in a day's work for the missionaries, but to residents of evacuated or otherwise affected communities, they were angels. It is amazing to watch them make a difference in so many people's lives, said Mrs. Colbert. It is great to see the love of others given to people they don't know. It rekindles my belief in kindness. They are part of our neighborhood family now. Carlsbad Mission President Stephen M. Studdart said, there has been no end to the stories of how missionaries in California have affected others. A San Diego City engineering official told me they had assessed what was needed to complete a project by week's end, President Studdart said. He said we'll need either 195 men or 5 Mormon missionaries. That official is now reading the Book of Mormon. The wildfires burned more than 800,000 acres. About 400,000 Latter-day Saints were affected, with 67 families losing their homes. All members and missionaries were reported safe and no church buildings were damaged. Youth collect winter clothing for Mongolians by Elizabeth Liljenquist, Church Magazines. The combined efforts of several church youth groups in northern Utah and southeastern Idaho resulted in nearly 50,000 articles of clothing for the people of Mongolia, who suffered through an unusually cold winter. Temperatures reached minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit. When Sandra Curtis heard about the widespread need for warm clothing from her brother serving a full-time mission there, the Laurel from the North Logan Second Ward, North Logan, Utah, Green Canyon Stake, decided she could help. Sandra invited her seminary class to collect clothing to send to Mongolia. They were really excited, she said. They thought it was a good idea, especially since it was during the Christmas season. Word of the project spread to four nearby seminaries. Within 2 weeks, nearly 3,000 students from seminaries in northern Utah and southeastern Idaho had collected coats, gloves, shoes, socks, belts, suits, sweaters, and blankets. One student knitted hats, another bought socks and gloves. Others searched their closets at home to find warm clothing suitable to donate. With permission from their priesthood leaders, students asked ward members to participate, using their mutual activities to collect donations. Chuck Summers of the Newton First Ward, Benson, Utah, Stake said, "Members made considerable and generous contributions. The project was absolutely phenomenal," he said. Even with the Christmas season in full swing, the students diligently collected clothing until school was released for the holidays. By the last day of school, the hallways, foyers, and classrooms at Skyview Seminary in Smithfield, Utah, were filled with clothing. Deseret Industries in Logan, Utah, collected and packaged the clothes, filling nearly four semi-trailers. The clothing was shipped in 900-pound bales to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia's capital. In the news, Elder Nelson dedicates the Republic of Tanzania by Farron and Peggy Orton. Overlooking Oyster Bay on the Indian Ocean, Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles dedicated the United Republic of Tanzania on November 18, 2003, and pronounced a blessing upon its leaders, citizens, missionaries, and members of the church. Meeting with a small number of members on a promontory near Dar es Salaam, Elder Nelson dedicated the land and asked God to bless the nation's leaders, that they will lead in righteousness, mercy, and compassion, and the country's citizens, that they may pursue righteous endeavors. Bless them to learn thy commandments and prosper in the land. Help them to raise righteous families with honesty, integrity, and love for thee and one another. Elder Stephen E. Snow of the 70, president of the Africa Southeast Area, observed, "It was thrilling to be present as an apostle gave this special blessing to the country of Tanzania. While the gospel has been established here, it will now firmly take root and grow and flourish." Elder Nelson later spoke to about 300 of the approximately 500 Tanzanian church members. There are currently three branches in Tanzania, organized under the Kenya Nairobi Mission and the Kinan, Donai, Changombe, and Ubungo branches. Church member killed in California earthquake. Maryland Southam Safuto, age 55, of the Paso Robles Second Ward, San Luis Obispo, California Stake, was killed on the 22nd of December 2003 in a Central California earthquake. Safuto, a retired schoolteacher from Vernal, Utah, was found along with other women amid the debris of a 19th-century clock tower building in Paso Robles, a town of 25,000. Several stores within the building collapsed, while the structure's roof vaulted into the street, crushing numerous cars. The 6.5 magnitude earthquake struck 20 miles west of Paso Robles, near the coastal town of Cambria, affecting areas from San Francisco to Los Angeles. It was the largest California quake in 4 years. California Ventura Mission President David J. Henderson reported that no missionaries were harmed and that they had been instructed on earthquake safety in recent zone conferences. Two member families were displaced from their homes due to structural damage. Two church buildings in Paso Robles and Morro Bay required minor repairs. LDS soldier killed during ambush in Iraq. U.S. Army Staff Sergeant Stephen Bertolino was killed during an ambush on his military convoy on November 29, 2003, in Haditha, Iraq. Brother Bertolino, a member of the San Diego 19th Ward, San Diego, California East Stake, leaves behind a wife and four children. Brother Bertolino was posthumously awarded a Purple Heart, Bronze Star, and Meritorious Service Medal during funeral services. Church Aid survivors of quake in Iran. Latter-day Saint Charities was among the first non-government organizations to respond to the earthquake in Iran that killed 37,000 in late December 2003. The church sent 4.5 tons of emergency medicines, including enough antibiotics and allergy medicines to treat 90,000 people. Church Humanitarian Emergency Response worked with M. Javad Zarif, ambassador from Iran to the United Nations, to assess needs, then collaborated with a company in Holland to rush the supplies to Iran. Gary Flake, director of the church's Humanitarian Emergency Response, said the shipment was an initial response and that the church will monitor the need for additional aid. In a letter to Brother Flake, Ambassador Zarif wrote, "I have been aware all along of the sincere efforts of Latter-day Saint Charities. Such support provides an invaluable source of comfort to those bereaved quake survivors and the whole Iranian people as they note that the outside world shares in their sorrow." Eastern Malaysia teens gather for first conference. 3 years ago, there was no organized young men or young women program in the Miri branch in Malaysia. Now 10 young women attend regularly, know the young women theme, and are working toward completing the personal progress program. These young women are some of the 80 teenagers from various parts of Malaysia who attended the year-old Kuching East Malaysia District's first youth conference last December. The remarkable growth of the young women program in Miri is mirrored by the success of the Bintulu branch's program, which has grown from 1 to 14 young women in the past year. "These wonderful young women cried tears of joy when the young women program was explained to them," said Sharon Bray, district young women president. "Their personal growth has been tremendous. These young people are hungry for the gospel." The youth of the district prepared for months to perform in a variety show as part of the 2003 youth conference. The show featured singing, dancing, and acting that represented how the youth's cultural roots had helped prepare them for the gospel. The Kuching East Malaysia District is one of four districts covering the country of Malaysia. Comment: December Enzyme brings Christmas spirit. My grandmother died about 6 years ago, and after that, Christmas wasn't the same. I forgot its true meaning. But after joining the church about 6 months ago, I now understand that while I lost a relative who was dear to me, I have found a family that is bigger than I had ever imagined. The spirit of Christmas is back in my life. After reading the December Enzyme, I was overcome with a spirit. I had never before understood the importance of the Enzyme. I now realize it is an integral part of any Latter-day Saint's life. After watching the video Joy to the World, I realize that while decorations and gifts are nice, the greatest gift anyone can give this or any other Christmas is that of love, peace, happiness, and the glorious news of Christ's birth. Kelly Oldfield, Kings Meadow, Australia. Subscription as Christmas present. I just received my December Enzyme. I can hardly wait for it each month. I'm in a senior rest home, but I've always received the Enzyme, and its stories, pictures, and articles have always been what I've needed. I have always sent an Enzyme subscription to someone as a Christmas present. Thank you for the work that goes into the magazine. Ruth Christensen, Elk Grove, California. Art credits. The artwork in the Enzyme is beautiful. Could you please identify the names of the paintings and the artist's names? My thanks to the art director for adding to the spiritual message of a wonderful magazine. Joan Bybee, Oakton, Virginia. Editor's note: Photo and art credit lines appear in the small print on the margins of each article, and you'll probably need assistance for that. If a painting has a title, that title is listed, along with the artist's name. Some of the art used in church magazines is owned by the church, while some is commissioned specifically for a particular article. If no art credit appears, this usually means that the art in question comes from a collection of stock photos that require no credit, or that the artist or photographer is unknown, but the original is either in church possession or in the public domain. In some cases, a photo or painting is copyrighted, and the church's contract with the artist does not permit readers to photocopy or otherwise reproduce the image used in the magazine. These restrictions appear in the credit line. If the line reads, "May not be copied," it is illegal to do so. Readers should carefully read credit lines before copying pages from the magazine. If no restriction appears, readers may copy art for incidental, non-commercial use, such as for teaching in the home or in church classes. Call for articles. If you've had experience with the following situation, we invite you to share your suggestions. I'm an elderly woman, and due to my fragile health, I recently came to live with my daughter and her family. It has been difficult to leave my friends, my home, and especially my independence. I know it hasn't been easy for my daughter's family either. What can I do to make the change easier for all of us? Send responses by the 15th of April, 2004, to Ensign Editorial, 24th Floor, 50 East North Temple Street, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-3220, to the United States, or to cur-editorial-ensign@ldschurch.org. Clearly mark your submission questions and answers, and at the top of your submission, write your name, address, telephone number, email address, ward and stake, or branch and district. While we cannot acknowledge receipt of individual responses, authors whose submissions are selected for publication will be notified. If you would like your manuscript returned, enclose a self-addressed, stamped envelope and allow up to a year. End of News of the Church and Comment.